Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
Hey, Astaire, do a mic check with me.
Check, check.
Does it look and feel weird that I'm doing this with a microphone?
Yes, especially because you've got it like pressed up against your mouth and your nose, so every time you talk, your nose moves. It's kind of funny.
Oh.
I'm Dan Nalen, and this is Soundwaves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah, recording live to podcast here in the coolest place in the city, I must say, today. Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and it is one of the oldest independent publications in the entire United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action, sports, and subculture. This episode, we talk about do-gooders, we talk about b-boys, and we talk about anarchists. We have a little something for everyone you know in this episode. In a lot of ways, you can describe the beneficial humanism movement through what it is not. It is a non-violent entity, a non-religious entity, a non-political entity, but what it is a support group based right here in Salt Lake City, based in members of the Boys and Girls Club that organizes events and projects to help sustain life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness within the Salt Lake City community. The group does everything from staging free yoga classes, they do a soup in the streets program, they do live music for the homeless, all kinds of cool stuff. Slug writer Tim Cronenberg chatted with the organizer and former Slug writer himself, Tom Bennett, about the group and their efforts in the community.
Just how long's Beneficial Human Movement been a thing?
I think we started probably 8 or 9 months ago, something like that. I've lost track. While I was walking away from Positively Fourth band practice space rentals over to the train station and passed a store called Malolo Gardens that was feeding homeless people out of their shop once a week, and we got involved with it just because we liked the idea of what they were doing, and a bunch of Boys and Girls Club employees started doing gardens, food gardens, and teaching kids how to grow food, and we decided that we would organize our efforts and try to unify various activist groups, so we started the Beneficial Humanism Movement.
Okay, so you're an activist group, or what exactly are you guys?
Well, we're a no-profit, loose affiliation of people that have a mission statement that we call the 6-point agreement, which is we are non-violent, non-political, non-religious. We support and sustain life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And then any beneficial endeavor we encounter, we try to put our hand to it immediately. So anything we could do to help people, whether that means, as happened last summer, stopping an attempted rape, or feeding the homeless, or playing music for people in the streets. We went to the big LGBT rallies at the Capitol and pulled the plug when the Mormons wouldn't let them talk, you know, just whatever. Human rights issues, environmental issues are pretty important with our group. We go to a lot of protest. We helped blockade the Chevron entranceway earlier in the fall. Anything good we can do, we do it.
Yeah, what kind of other charity work have you done?
Mostly just this Soup in the Streets project is our main thing. Every Sunday at 1, we meet at Pioneer Park under the flags, and it's a potluck that homeless people can sit and eat with us too. And we bring guitars and harmonicas and drums and various instruments and just let people play music and enjoy themselves. And it's kind of goes like that.
Who exactly do you help? Just the homeless people or anybody with an unfortunate circumstance?
With this, anyone can come up, you know. We use money that we've raised from doing fundraisers. About every couple months at Bartolux, we throw a show where we usually get poets, musicians, and other performers, and we raise money. And we keep that money in an account that we use to provide food that we share with whoever comes on Sundays. And we all bring stuff too, so it kind of just adds to like a little stockpile of food, and that way everyone gets to eat. And we get the benefit of friendship with the local homeless community and their stories and experiences. And we play music together and kind of goes like that.
Yeah, we just met Chris. Chris is a cool guy.
He's way cool, yeah. Chris Blue. He's a very talented musician that I'm trying to encourage to join us at a new folk and blues night at the Peary Hotel that I've been doing. And I've also played shows with other homeless people that have passed through town as a way to help them raise money for themselves in a legal way. I played a show with a guy named Ramblin' Ricky Bobby, who came out of Reno at Bar Deluxe a couple months back, and he was a really talented musician and storyteller, and I met him through this here at the Pioneer Park.
What makes you guys different from other groups that are similar?
We don't have like a a membership, or we haven't tried to receive any nonprofit status. We just do it because we feel like it's the right thing to do. Most of the people we meet in the park that are out here helping people are from different Christian churches, and that's fine too. You know, we don't subscribe to any ideology. We just do it because we enjoy it. As far as we're concerned, we're just out here sharing food with our friends. It just happens to be that they're homeless.
Mm-hmm. What kind of differences and improvements have you seen in the community since you guys have been doing your thing?
Well, the park is generally more friendly when we're around, you know, like, we see arguments start, but sometimes if they realize we're here, they chill out a little bit because they know us. We've been out here since the beginning of winter, every Sunday except for one or two, and they know us. We've unified with other activist groups such as the Legacy Initiative out of American Fork to provide a almost like shopping experience without money, like a free market that went on here at the park about a month ago. And also through the Boys and Girls Club, we've been able to do a lot. Like, we have programs where we work with autistic kids. A couple of our people are all Boys and Girls Club employees, so we kind of are full-time activists. We get to help at the Boys and Girls Club, and on the weekends we do stuff like this.
So usually it's just Sundays in the park, or where else would you meet? And
that's about it right now. We have gardens around town, and sometimes if somebody needs help in their gardens, we go, and then we all share food from the gardens. We've got probably 7 or 8 gardens around town at Boys and Girls Club sites, various sites in Salt Lake City. We got a Facebook group that we kind of use to coordinate our efforts. We don't have formal sit-down meetings. We find that's very pat-on-your-back-ish. You know, we don't like to sit around and talk about what we're going to do or praise ourselves for our actions. We just like to get out and do things. It's a lot more productive and meaningful that way.
So you get some help from the Boys and Girls Club and the other nonprofits. Do you have any other sponsors or people you're getting with?
We work with a lot of different organizations that are all doing really good things. You know, anything that anyone's doing that's good, we support it. We have regular events with a group called Dolls and Gents. They're a pinups for a cause kind of group. They're really good people, and they do stuff all the time. And being that a lot of us play music, we work hand in hand with them. There's a group called Revolution United locally that does really great things. There is Peaceful Uprising that's involved in a lot of human rights issues like immigration cases, and they do a lot of environmental stewardship type things like that. So we just try to unify all kinds of activist groups and take part in whatever we can, you know. We go to all the different meetings and talk to people and say, oh, you should meet this guy, he does this, you should meet that girl, you should meet these people. Because there's a lot of talk about solidarity and unity amongst activist groups, but there really isn't very much unification. And a lot of it's because a lot of these activists are very busy doing good things that they don't have time to work outside of their organizations. But when they do pull their powers together, that's when you start seeing things
happens.
A lot more happens, yeah.
Help effort would you like to see in the community?
We'd like to continue to build this Soup in the Streets program. The grand vision for it is basically a potluck in the Pioneer Park. A big potluck in Pioneer Park every Sunday at 1, where right now we have just a small handful of people. We'd love to see hundreds of people out here with frisbees, guitars, and food, and just kind of taking back the park, you know, and making it a place where families can come and everybody can come, but the homeless are still welcome too, you know, and everyone can share food because there's more than enough. We get a weekly donation of bread from Caputo's, which that's just so cool that they do that, you know, like they don't have to. They could do anything with their bread, but every Sunday, as soon as I walk in the door, they, you know, hand me the bread with a smile on their faces and say, there you go, you know, take this bread and go feed people with it, and we do, and it's cool they do that. We'd like to continue to branch out into the community and become a little bit more organized and draw resources from the various grocery stores and things like that, food that would normally be thrown away, or use that to feed more people. We want to, with the advent of the Twilight concert series coming up, we would like to encourage more of our music program called Music for the Huddled Masses, which is basically just encouraging performance arts amongst the homeless. So we always bring guitars. We've even had drum kits and stuff out here in Pioneer Park. We perform for the homeless, and if they know how to play, we let them use our instruments and play too. And that really, you know, unifies people and brings a little bit of joy into their dark lives here in the park.
Where can people go to learn more or turn donate their time?
We have a Facebook group. It's the Beneficial Humanism Movement group on Facebook. If anybody wants to contact me, I definitely find them work to do to help people out. It's all fun stuff though. It's nothing like back-breaking, grueling, you know, soup line, boring stuff. It's all fun stuff. But my name's Tom Bennett. I'm on Facebook. Anyone who wants to get involved can email me personally. That's fine. Give me a call if you want. 801-696-0471. I do this stuff all the time, so I don't mind helping other people get involved. And if you're even in a different city and you hear this and you would like to start a kind of a branch
a
of the
sect.
A little offshoot of the BHM group, then I can give you some input on how we've done it here. It's very simple to organize groups of friends to engage in positive direct
things.
Action. Yeah, it's easy and very worthwhile. You get a lot more from it than you're giving, honestly. Like, all the people that come out with us have a lot more fun, and we're not feeding large numbers of people, but one or two people come up and they get something to eat that day, or like those little girls that just came up. You know, they were what, probably 4, 3 years old, and they came up and we gave them the last of our carrots, you know, and would they have gotten carrots today? No. When was the last time they probably had fresh carrots? I have no idea, but they need it, and we know that, and it's good for us to be able to give it.
What do we need to see changed? Like, what are the homeless people themselves or anybody in a bad situation? What's like, what are the biggest things right now that we need to see change?
I think the issue, especially with homelessness, is a problem with worldview. It's like, if you are poor and you've been poor for a long time, you don't see any other option. You think, I am poor. That is what I am, you know? Or you think, I'm disabled in some way. That's all you think you are. Until you broaden your view, and then your possibilities increase. Because you can't do anything that you can't visualize. So we need to visualize, you know, just a better situation for ourselves and for homeless people, for anyone we meet. A lot of people don't agree with panhandling, but I always give them at least something. I don't give them a lot of money because I don't make a lot of money. And I know a lot of it goes to vices that they may have. But I always give them something, and I look them in the eye and I say hello and I shake their hand. Because a lot of it is just being treated like a human being. If they get acknowledged and looked at and greeted and treated like a human being, it brightens their day a lot. And they begin to feel like a human being. And then they start wanting to make changes.
That's, you couldn't have said it better than that, actually. What do you guys have planned for the future?
We're just going to continue with what we're doing. We would like to implement more gardens. There's a couple businesses in Salt Lake that have allowed us to grow crops like behind their places. You know, we're gonna see how this first year of that goes. So far it's going very well, but it's on private land, so it's not something I'm gonna like announce where and when it happens on the air, because it's kind of it's an issue of trust right now. We don't want to let that trust go down or have people show up in mass to work in gardens that are on people's private businesses properties. But more gardens, you know, because if you can grow food, that's a big source of power right there. It's one of the most revolutionary things you could do. I've actually been writing some folk songs for some groups like Grow Food Not Lawns to try to get the message out of just, you should rip out your lawn and plant a garden. That's gonna save you money, and you're gonna avoid eating chemicals, and you're gonna avoid contributing to the shipping and the gas usage and all that stuff too. And you're gonna be buying locally is another thing that you could do that's just has major implications. Come down to the farmer's market, buy things locally, check out Local First. There's all kinds of list of businesses that are committed to local culture and commerce.
The help is there, you just gotta look for it.
Yeah, it's easy to do these things. It's just making little decisions of what you value and how you wanna live.
How does the winter look for you guys? Salt Lake gets pretty cold.
It gets cold, but we're still out here. All last winter, we were out here every single weekend. We started off inside a shop and people would come in, but when the shop closed, we still came out and stood in the freezing cold with crock pots of soup. Wasn't as fun as it is now, so get into it now so you don't have to get into it in the wintertime. If you do it all summer, you'll fall in love with helping people and you'll want to do it in the winter too, but start while the weather's good with us now.
To find out more about the group and to find out what they're working on next, search for the Beneficial Humanism Movement group on Facebook. Famous Relatives is an electronic synth-pop project from Salt Lake City. It's actually a solo project of Palace of Buddies guitarist Tim Myers. And while most of the album is just him, he occasionally is accompanied by his Palace of Buddies buddy, drummer Nick Foster. Myers released his debut album, Electric Signals, just this spring in late May. Here's a song from Famous Relatives called Can We Love and Understand? famous relatives have no social media presence as of yet, but to download a copy of the album called Electric Signals, check them out at famousrelatives.bandcamp.com. Part of a world. The B-Boy Federation is a non-profit organization right here in Salt Lake City that showcases street-style B-Boy dancing through performance, education, and competitions. The group originally formed in the fall of 2009 and hosts three-on-three and single-performer dance-offs all over the valley, judged by cool people in the art scene who crown regional champions every year. The group takes part in several big festivals. They were just at the Utah Arts Festival this June, helping to grow the dance community and encouraging people to get out and get their B-Boy on. Slug senior writer Mariah Mellis sat down with the co-founder of the group, Josh Perkins, to talk about the B-Boy Federation.
For our listening audience, tell us a little bit about what the B-Boy Fed is and what we can expect to see.
Cool. So what the B-Boy Federation really is a group of hip-hop dancers, street dancers, urban dancers in Utah, and we throw events, we throw workshops, we try to provide practice spots for kids to go and practice and really sort of take, you know, their dance and what they do and what they love and give them opportunities to pursue it. It's really difficult to pursue this, you know, outside of high school, if you're going to college and things like that. So what it really tries to do is create an outlet for the kids, you know, that's not a sports outlet necessarily, and then also give them opportunities to grow with it and progress with it and maybe turn it into a possible career.
Nice. And so when you're hosting an event, a lot of these times they're called battles, right?
Correct.
So you have one dancer that comes out and then another one tries to show them up,
right?
Or how do they battle?
Right. So the idea of the battle is it's a competition. And what it originally is the idea of you and I dancing against each other for respect, and it's an argument is kind of how we set it up. And the argument is you think you're better than me and I think I'm better than you, and what happens is we will battle and dance against each other until one of us is convinced that the other one is better. And so that's how it originally would happen in a competition. You know, we'll have judges, and so we'll say you have one round each dancer, two rounds each dancer, whatever, and then the judges will pick a winner, and that winner advances through the brackets, you know, until you ultimately just come out with one person.
Nice. And you guys have been doing these battles for quite a while. I mean, you actually have, like, international and national artists that have come into town for them.
Right, we have. So we started doing the very first events that we did would be early 2009. We started doing an event called X Series, which was just exhibitions where you'd set two people up and they go five rounds each. There's no judges. It's just purely an exhibition and for those dancers to sort of get some recognition for themselves. And then the Federation actually came about in title late 2009, and so we've been doing events for about 4 years now. We're coming into the fifth year, and we've been really fortunate to have dancers come from all over the country. We've had lots of workshops. We've been fortunate enough to send our dancers to other countries and send them all over the country. We actually have three dancers that are in Florida this weekend for competition.
Awesome. And I know originally they were hosted at like a Boys and Girls Club, which was a great probably experience for a lot of people to get kids out and take them someplace,
right?
A place that kids cultivate. But now you've kind of got a home at the Utah Arts Hub.
Right. Our first events were at Up Rock Records downtown, and then as that grew, we did, you know, we would do events here and there, and we would sort of trade off between the Utah Arts Alliance's old facility and the Murray Boys and Girls Club. Once the Utah Arts Alliance moved into their new facility, we have much more space. We have an office there now, and so we've sort of just kind of settled into that area where we have open practices there, and we have, you know, we're able to utilize that space much better, and it's been really good.
Help me understand, when you say a federation, so I mean you're kind of a collection of dancers, and it's not just hip-hop, I mean,
right?
or is it?
Right, I mean, so I mean, we're the B-Boy Federation. Breakdancing and B-Boying is always been sort of our main focus. Ideally though, we'd like to grow to sort of, you know, sort of cover street dancers or hip-hop dancers in general, anyone that's not affiliated with like a studio or just a dancer, you know, or a group in general. And the idea behind it is sort of saying that, you know, we're an open group that anyone, it's like everyone's part of it and no one's part of it. So there's, you know, four or five people that are on our board that actually run things, and we decide what events are going to be, and we design the clothing, and we, you know, take care of the brand and the image of it. But other than that, I sort of consider anyone who wants to be a part of the events to be part of the Federation. And the advantage of that is that someone may come to me and say, hey, I need to book five dancers for a show, this is my budget. Now, if I'm constrained, you know, to say, oh, I have these eight dancers that dance here and they're available these times, it can be very difficult. Where we can utilize everyone in the scene, essentially, I can say, cool, this person would be great for this, and then these kids would be great for this type of show, and I have this type of dancer that would be amazing. And so that way we can sort of, you know, make ourselves look larger and still give dancers opportunities. It also gives us the opportunity to, you know, promote people's classes, dancers teach at different studios, if you can have sort of a central area like the Fed website or the Federation as an organization, you know, we can sort of funnel, everything sort of comes to us, and then we can funnel it out to the dancers to make sure everybody's getting as many opportunities as possible.
Nice, and I really like that too, because I think that, you know, when you're talking about b-boy stuff, I see it as like an urban dance, and I think it's very much about like the city, and it's alive like that, and it's a lot of people and hustle and bustle, people coming, kind of coming and going. So I like that you can be an umbrella for all those,
right,
you know, dancers in a way.
And it's really great, and we can be, it's very organic in the sense that, you know, the Federation is essentially the dancers that are dancing right now, and some people can find more time to dance and others can, and so it makes it very much so where you don't have to put a lot of stress on people, because we don't get paid a lot, and a lot of people can't do this as their career, and so we all have other jobs and other things that we do, and so it's sort of like when you have the time to invest in this, you can invest the time in it, and the goal is to make it as easy for the dancers as possible to, you know, sort of make money if they can or get opportunities if they can, but then also have it not be so intense so they can still sort of focus on their craft and what they like to do.
That's awesome. So you've got a few things coming up, or what, you know, let's talk about the website. Let's talk about the outside of the Urban Arts Festival. Where can we see you? And if you're a dancer, how would you kind of hook up with you guys?
Right. So the website is bboyfed, bboyfed.com. We also have a Facebook page, you know, and the Twitter and all the other social.
I know you're very active.
Right.
Find you. We can find you.
I'm a super social nerd, everything. But between the, as far as the website goes, is we do have an event calendar that we post up things like there are weekly practices that we host. There's also an event called House Night and one called Funk Night. They happen Monday and Wednesday at the library downtown, actually, where the Arts Festival was.
Nice.
And
yeah.
During the summer, while the weather's nice, we go out there from 7 to 10. It's free, and that's, we just hang out and practice and dance.
So people can come watch,
right,
and they can come dance.
You can come watch, you can come hang out, you can just come enjoy the music.
Nice.
They're really open, really, really fun things. We also have music on the website. We try to upload a mixtape every week-ish, depending on if I get lazy or not. But we try and upload something every week, and it's free music. The DJs will put the music out for free. We don't always censor it, so if you have young kids, you may want to sort of like preview it prior, but we try to put music out there so kids can have things to practice too.
That's great. You can grab your cardboard at
right,
home,
exactly. So
and
like
be hanging
music,
in the
like music is such a huge thing for us too, so
sure.
Like the more music I have, the better my life is.
Nice.
As far as events, there are two events coming up, one on July 13th, and then I guess there's a couple coming up the weekend of July 20th. So the 13th is a b-boy event and an all-styles event that'll be happening sort of in the Layton-Ogden area.
Okay, for those kids up north, that's great.
And then on the 20th, there is an all-styles battle that takes place in the evening that's thrown by a group called Underground, and that will be sort of in the West Valley Kearns area, I believe.
Nice.
And then there's also the Urban Arts Festival, which is happening during the day on the 20th, and we'll be there, I believe, in the 1:30 noon, 2 o'clock early afternoon area. And we're going to be hanging out outside. We'll probably do some kind of competition. We're sort of hammering out the details right now. We kind of want it to be a little bit different than what we did at the Arts Festival, but still have a really fun feel to it.
B-Boy Federation will take part in the Urban Arts Festival this Saturday, July 20th at the Gateway Mall. The event is completely free and open to the public to attend. For more information on the festival, be sure to visit urbanartsfestival.org. And for more information on the B-Boy Federation, check them out at bboyfed.com. This is your weekly daily calendar for the week of July 16th through July 22nd. As always, I'll recommend that you go to slugmag.com every damn day of the week and check out those calendar listings. There's always new stuff going in there. There are multitudes of events to check out. These are my personal favorites for the week we're looking at right now. Tuesday, July 16th, an actual worthwhile reason to head to Ogden. Dave Alvin and the Guilty Ones. For people who don't know, Dave Alvin is one of the baddest mothers on the planet. Founder of the Blasters, former member of X. He does the theme song from Justified, the TV show. Awesome roots rocker, a legend, seriously. He's playing at Ogden's Egyptian Theater. It's a benefit for the theater and for the Ogden folk and bluegrass folks. That same night, a great reason to head to the main library right here in downtown Salt Lake. It's opening night of the Music at Main concert series. And this Tuesday, we have Hectic Hobo and Marinade sharing the audience. That'll be a great show here in Salt Lake City. Wednesday, July 17th, Peter Murphy, the legendary former frontman of Bauhaus, then had a long, awesome solo career, used to seriously pack crowds in Salt Lake into huge places like the Triad Amphitheater, the Utah State Fair Park. He's coming through the Urban Lounge for a show that is commemorating 35 years of Bauhaus. That'll be a great one. That's on Wednesday, July 17th. Thursday, the 18th of July, it is opening night of the Twilight Concert Series at Pioneer Park. Pretty cool opening double bill. Bell and Sebastian, who I'm not sure have ever played in Salt Lake as far as I know. I don't remember ever seeing them. They're the headliners. Blitz and Trapper, great band, opening up. So definitely a reason to head down to Pioneer Park. Brave the crowds, brave the weather. Get down there for a great show for a mere five bones. Over at the Depot, Jimmy Eat World, back again, still slogging it out. I know they have a huge audience here in Salt Lake. I'm sure that show will do very well as well. Friday, July 19th, this is a night where I will be bouncing all over the damn place in this town. Over at the Stateroom, Sunvolt, legendary roots rockers. Jay Farrar, formerly of Uncle Tupelo, leads that band. That'll be a great show. At the same time, over at the Urban Lounge, the Heartless Bastards, led by the mini powerhouse vocalist Erica Wennerstrom. They are an amazing live band. Been through quite a bit over the years. Love those guys. Rancid and the Transplants are both playing at the Depot that night, as well as the next night, Saturday the 20th. They're always a great live show. And if you want to get out of the valley, head up to Deer Valley and check out Steve Martin and the Steep Canyon Rangers. If you've never seen Steve Martin do his bluegrass thing, it's pretty impressive. Not only is it a great banjo player, a fine singer, his band is awesome. You get Steve Martin, the comedian, in between songs, and that's a blast. They have Edie Brickell, long forgotten, and back on tour with Steve Martin. They're performing all together with the Utah Symphony up at Deer Valley on Friday the 19th. Saturday the 20th of July, another huge day. You have the Urban Arts Festival, as we've mentioned, over at the Gateway. As part of that, Slug Magazine's own Summer of Death event taking part. That'll be a huge thing. Same day, the Intermountain Acoustic Music Association is hosting its free Folk and Bluegrass Festival at the Gallivan Center, featuring the one and only Justin Towns Earl in the headlining slot. That'll be great. And a little local hip-hop with Harrison Gig playing alongside Polytype at Kilby Court. Big night on Saturday. And then on Sunday, July 21st, we're going to wind up the week at the Stateroom for Tift Merritt, another alt-country artist, one of my faves, great songwriter, really good stuff. Big week. That's your weekly daily calendar. As always, you can add your own events to the calendar at any time, and that is free of charge. For a mere $5 a month or $50 a year, you can add some quality links to your content. And as always, be sure to check slugmag.com. Check that calendar every day of the week. Hey, we have another indie pop rock band straight out of Provo, Utah for you to check out here. This band is called No Sleep. They originally formed in early 2011. It's a four-piece. They released their debut self-titled album just this June. We're going to play a song called Rain Cloud off of No Sleep's self-titled debut.
1, 2, 3, 4.
You can currently pick up the No Sleep album on Amazon just by searching for No Sleep. And for more information on the band, visit them online at facebook.com/No Sleep Band. The Salt Lake Anarchist Black Cross are a collective of activists who organize against the prison industrial system, and they do that by setting up fundraisers, various programs to help those being railroaded by the prison system. They do that via monthly letter writing campaign, they do bake sales, they do benefit shows, all kinds of cool stuff. Slug writer Alex Cragen sat down with one of the organization's founders, Kristen Kay, to talk about their efforts. How did the Salt Lake Anarchist Black Cross come to be, and what is a Black Anarchist Cross?
ABC.
Yeah.
The ABC in Salt Lake formed out of an action against a corporation here called the Management and Training Corporation, MTC, who employs guards and trains them at private prisons and deportation centers throughout the U.S. So it goes hand in hand with politics and corporations. They just so happen to benefit financially off of people being detained and deported. So we weren't technically an ABC then, but we organized a protest a few years ago, and then when we actually decided to become an ABC, it was for an event. June 11th is the International Day of Solidarity with Long-Term Anarchist Prisoners. There's two specifically that are serving longer than 18-year sentences. So we get together that day, we talk about it. We usually have a fundraiser. Like this year, we had a vegan pie bake-off, and we did that a year prior, and try and make it an event and make people comfortable, but also talk about some issues that don't normally get addressed. So it was basically a group of people saying, we want to do this, we want to form this, and historically the ABC is a prison abolition group. It used to be called the Anarchist Red Cross, but it was being confused with the aid group, and that started in Russia. It was during the revolution when they were overthrowing the Tsar, but it was also to combat the Red Army because they were torturing and raiding Anarchist House. I don't know if you're very familiar with that history, but okay. So it changed to the Black Cross, and it started again in the United States around the 1980s after kind of weaning out. 2011, we decided to start one here.
So are there any other court cases or inmates that the SLABC is focusing on at the moment?
Well, we have a monthly prisoner letter writing night, so we always encourage people to come to that, and we have a catalog of political prisoners you can write, or even if you just have loved ones, because there's a difference. There's a federation for the ABC if you're part of the ABCF, which we're not part of, because there's certain rules that are mandated to join that, and we decided against it as a group. So we believe that most prisoners are prisoners of class war, and a lot of crimes aren't antisocial, and if they are antisocial, mental health needs to be addressed, and being able to have access to appropriate measures, like a lot of us don't have health care, so if we are mentally ill, it's not exactly easy for us to go to like a therapist or have other forms of medical services. So most everything we believe is politically motivated. So even like the robbery of a grocery store or, you know, like a gas station. In that, it's also politically motivated because oftentimes people feel driven to do things like that from economic instability, and a lot of that is caused from capitalism. So as anarchists, we're against capitalism and the state, and so we support people who are in for sometimes nonviolent, sometimes violent. It depends. Like, obviously, it's up to you and your comfort level on who you want to support, and usually we agree as a group. So we're pretty small here, our chapter, so mostly we focus on larger calls to action. Like, we had a benefit to support people resisting grand juries in the Northwest. I don't know if you're familiar with that case or if anyone else is. It's pretty interesting if anyone wants to further look into it. But yeah, as far as that, we support them. When Jordan Halliday was in prison. He's from Utah, and he actually was sent to prison for the same reason, resisting a grand jury. We had letter writing nights for him.
ABC primarily focuses on inmates they consider to be political prisoners. Do you work with individuals outside that scope? For example, say someone that was convicted of marijuana possession or other, you know, minor nonviolent offenses?
Yeah, because they're still a prisoner of the state. Mostly what we would like to bring to attention, there's a lot of stuff we want to bring to attention, but as a prison abolition group, we want people to reconsider what we think is crime, because a lot of it is based in morals and it's archaic. It's based in long overdue ideas of what something is. And we always call, maybe not so much in Utah or certain parts of the US, but the separation of church and state. And so separating morals, but also having a different idea of like, what is crime? And Emma Goldman in an essay talks about nonviolent crimes and violent crimes, and a violent crime would be considered like rape or murder, and whether or not that murder is justified. So at least for marijuana, we would like to see an alternative, because first off, a lot of people, you know, if you are born into poverty and you live that way, you're suffering. But also, what about a lot of people who believe that marijuana should be legalized and it's herbal, and also they're being criminalized for something that generates such revenue that, like, really, can you say that it's not financially motivated? If you research the war on drugs, you would see it's not as black and white as people claim it to be. So we would support people like that. We would try and radicalize them, because a lot of people are normal and we don't put up with sexism or racism or any other discriminatory behavior that is, we feel as anarchist, is destructive. So, but we would support them, we would write them letters and possibly try and raise them a stipend and send them books.
So recently there was a young woman, Dryn Draper, who was charged with the crime of filming a factory farm without the permission of the owner.
Right.
As you probably know, the charges were dropped. Had your organization tried to work with her at all, formally or informally? Or have you guys tried to work on any sort of, like, reforms on any sort of, like, you know, ag gag legislation?
No, we are non-reformists, so we focus our attention elsewhere. The thing is, the state is who, in the first place, is enforcing an attack against political dissidents, such as she was participating in the animal rights movement. Mm-hmm. And so we wouldn't be opposed to legislation, because diversity of tactics is important, but we choose not to focus our attention on that area. There are a lot of other opportunities that we feel are more satisfactory for us to work with, such as prisoner support is really important, since so many people are incarcerated. But like I said, I would implore people to seek legal counsel. If they feel justified in working in an area like them, then all the power to them. But I personally don't believe in reform, and I think that any leeway that the state apparently gives you, such as like being like, oh, you can film them, it doesn't actually matter, because they're oppressing you in other ways. So I don't know.
So how do you get in contact with members of like the prison community, as well as families of the prison community?
It varies. So we, like I said, have a catalog of political prisoners that we write. But for instance, there was a local prisoner, Matthew Stewart, who recently passed away. We were in contact because it was really publicized, and we wrote him letters. And it's really easily word of mouth, because you're locked up, you don't have very much to do. Someone starts writing you letters saying they support you, and you're around other people, it's part of socialization. What are you going to talk about when you're in there? Like, you run out of subjects.
Right.
It's not like your routine varies very much. So he ended up talking to other people, and we're planning on starting a books to prisoners. And so it can be as simple as us sending a catalog somewhere and one inmate showing another. And so that's how we would become in contact with them. It's basically through word of mouth, but some of it is through viewing the news for cases like police shootings or other forms of prosecution.
So what events do you have coming up, and how do you plan on promoting them?
We always, every month, every second Tuesday at the Salt Lake City Library, we have Prisoner Letter Writing Night. We have a Facebook page and a blog. It's slabc.wordpress.com. We always promote events on there. I personally am not the biggest fan of Facebook, but our collective uses it, so we promote events on Facebook also. As of right now, we don't have any larger event planned, but I'm sure that's going to change pretty soon. So basically the letter writing night right now, but like I said, we want to start a Books Through Prisoners, and that takes money to send postage. It takes, some prisons don't allow literature, which isn't new. They have a lot of regulations because they try and limit what they can receive. So it'll take money to send it, it'll take donations of books, and then manpower and possibly a place to keep that. But I guess it's trying to get people to recognize that, you know, these are our loved ones, and what they do isn't necessarily as bad as most people believe it is.
So do you guys have any, like, opposition in the community at all? And if so, who and what sort of opposition do you guys have?
We're a fairly small group, so sometimes people don't show up to our events, but I wouldn't say anyone has come out against us verbally, or at least in a apparent enough manner that we're like, oh, they don't like us. Like, obviously, some pacifist groups don't necessarily agree with our tactics because we do support violent action, and some environmental prisoners, even though they never hurt any living person, property destruction is often seen as a violent action, which we don't agree that that is the case. But I'd say that's, at least ideologically, there is opposition, but nothing too crazy. So obviously we have opposition from the police, but who doesn't? So,
and if anyone wants to get involved with SLABC, how do they reach out to you guys, or how can they get in contact with you?
We have an email, slabc@riseup.net, and we check that fairly regularly. Or like I said, I'd prefer people didn't use the Facebook, especially. I knew about surveillance before, but now that it's very open with that NSA case, obviously there's a lot of information sharing, and maybe even anything on the internet isn't really secure, but I prefer people email us.
For more information about the Salt Lake Anarchist Black Cross, go online and find out more about their events and the organization themselves. They are at slabc.wordpress.com. Thank you for listening to Soundwaves from the Underground. And for all things Slug Magazine, be sure to visit us online every damn day of the week at slugmag.com. We have Yelp's Jeffrey Stedman coming into the studio next week to talk about all the great ice cream treats available throughout Utah, and specifically right here in Salt Lake City. And we'd like to hear what some of your favorite cold treats are. You can either send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or call and leave us a message on our automated voicemail line at 858-233-9324. That line is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We just might play your suggestion on the show. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Esther Moronio, Alexander Ortega, and myself, Dan Nalen. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown. The theme was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis. Main logo and art design is by T. Doan, and technical design is by Kate Colgan. Be sure to fire us up again next week when we talk about Salt City Slam, the Run Across America, and this year's Twilight Concert Series. Thanks for listening.